Okay, thank you for the opportunity to talk here. So this is the title, and this is based on this paper with Joe Marzano, Kyriakos Papadonimas, and myself. And he actually gave a preview of this thing here in March, and this is supposed to be continuation or supplement to this. And one excuse is that this paper is huge, so it's good to advertise this twice. Okay, so introduction. So recently, metastable non-supersymmetric configurations in gauge theory and string theory has been a very active field of research after the discovery by investigator Shi and Cyberg that in supersymmetric theories, there are metastable non-supersymmetric vacua. So people used to look for non-supersymmetric gauge theories because our world is non-supersymmetric. However, that was hard. But you don't have to look for non-supersymmetric gauge theory, but you can just study non-supersymmetric gauge theory, and there are non-supersymmetric states in there. And there's a rich landscape of those vacua, metastable ones. So this is the picture of the potential. So this is a supersymmetric theory potential, and there is a supersymmetric stable state here, but actually there is a metastable non-supersymmetric configuration, and we may be actually living here. And this state is reasonably stable if the tunneling rate from here to there is low enough. And this has a huge implication for phenomenology or cosmology because this changes the way to build models. Okay, and these people proposed some configuration, metastable configuration in string theory, which is based on geometric engineering. So they considered type 2B local Calabi-Yau, which is obtained by fibering S2 over some complex plane. And the size of the S2 changes as you go as you move in the plane. And in particular, there are multiple points where this S2 shrinks to zero, and you can wrap brains there. And normally you wrap just brains, not anti-brains, but you can do it. You can just wrap brains here and anti-brains there. And this is metastable because there's a potential barrier for these to just go over the potential barrier and pair annihilate. So this is a metastable configuration as long as the potential here is large. And they studied this configuration using a large N duality. So in the supersymmetric case, it's standard to replace these D5 brains by S3 because these are going to change the geometry, and the geometry will turn into deformed geometry where instead of S2 you have S3. And furthermore, they claim that tuning on. Okay, so after you replace these D brains by fluxes, they claim that those fluxes break supersymmetry softly from n equals to 2 to n equals to 0, and that enables you to study this system using supergravity, basically, and that gives you some calculational control so that you can really study the, for example, phase structure of this system. For example, these are too close to each other, then there will be no metastable configuration. Okay, that was a nice system. And it is known that this kind of geometric configuration is trivial to brain configurations on the 2A side, namely Hanani-Witten kind of NS5 and D4 in between. So on the 2B side, you studied this dynamics using geometric transition or large N duality, but on the 2A side, the tool you use is to go to M theory. So these NS5 and E4 are actually made of the same thing, M5 in M theory, and by going to M theory, you can study this system in some unified way. And although these are, I said these are T-dual to each other, they are not really T-dual to each other, because this is in local Clavier or non-compact Clavier, and this is in non-compact R6. Therefore, if you are to take a T-duality between these two things, then the circle size, T-dual circle radius, must be, you cannot T-dualize if the T-dual circles are huge on both sides. Therefore, it's not really T-dual to each other. Therefore, by studying this, I'm not just studying this same system, but I'm exploring some unexplored parameter regime in string theory and M theory. And as I said, they assumed that the supersymmetry breaking is somehow soft on the 2B side, but on this side, because I have just M5 brain, which is in a flat space, therefore I don't have to assume anything. So maybe I can study what they're really doing on the 2B side. And also, you may wonder, what about the boundary conditions, condition problem raised by Benna, Gorbatov, Hellerman, Seiberg, and Shi about non-supersymmetric brain configuration? And I will have some things to say about that later. Okay, so I'm done with the introduction, and I will very briefly review the supersymmetric case, and then I will explain how to construct non-supersymmetric curves, and then I talk about some limit in which supersymmetry breaking is in some control, and also mention boundary conditions. Any questions so far? Yes.
Is the size of the two spheres?
Yes.
Does it have to be zero?
No, it doesn't have to be. You can just have some minimal size. Yes. Yeah, if you really collapse, then the gauge theory coupling is going to blow up in four dimensions. So you have to either make it finite, or you have to turn on B field. Okay, so review of the supersymmetric case. Okay, so what was the type 2A brain construction? And it's known as Hanani-Whitman type construction. I just consider NS5, two NS5s, which is along X4 plus X5 direction, and also these are filling the four-dimensional Minkowski space, and I stretch D4 brains between them. And I will be using these coordinates, and V is just 4 plus I5, and W, which is 8 plus I9, and this direction is X6. Yeah, so this is V, and the direction perpendicular to this screen is basically W, and X6 is this. And let the length of D4 be L, then this will engineer, realize n equals 2, you engage theory with an adjoint chiral superfield in n equals 1 language, which corresponds to the shift coordinate of this D4 along this NS5 direction. And the four-dimensional Young-Mills coupling is given by L over GS square root of alpha, which can be derived just by the DBI action of D4. Okay, and you can curve NS5s like this freely. So you can curve NS5 along some given holomorphic function, and you do the same thing for the other one. And if you look at this thing from the X6 direction, from this direction, then it looks like this. So you have one NS5 going like this, the other one going like this. Therefore, for D4 brains, it's good to sit here and here, because they are the minimal distance places. And of course, you should not be... I'm just drawing the real section of this curve. Therefore, this is not the real curve. Of course, if you curve NS5 like this, this is not stable, right? There is some other imaginary section which is going the other way, and therefore this thing is stable. Okay. And this will give you n equals 1 theory with superpotential given by that. Okay, and I said that this will realize gauge theory, but actually you have to take a gauge theory limit to get a gauge theory, and that corresponds to taking first alpha prime to 0. You have to do that because you have to decouple string oscillators, and you have to do that in such a way that the four-dimensional Young-Mills coupling is fixed. So I said this is given by this. So if I send alpha prime to zero, then I have to send L to zero also. And also, I want to keep the mass of this fundamental string stretching between two stacks to be finite, because this is going to be hypermultiplet in four dimensions, which must participate in the dynamics. Therefore, I have to scale L like this and delta like this. Therefore, if I send alpha to zero, then the system size goes substringy. So it's tiny. Okay, and to study the gauge dynamics using this brain picture, Witten suggested using M theory. Remember that NS5 here and D4 are actually made of the same thing in M theory, which is M5. And in particular, I can change GS. I can take GS to be large so that this whole thing is constant. So GS is here, but I take this to be large, then I have to take L to be large, but then G Young-Mills is finite. Then this whole thing becomes very large. Therefore, I can use Nambu-Goto action for M5 reliably. And such an M5 curve can be relatively easily obtained by homomorphicity, because it's going to be just a homomorphic function, so it's somehow in control. And it turns out that this curve is the Seibig-Witten curve of the gauge theory itself. So it's so nice. So it works like a magic. But wait a minute, why does it work? Because I said I have to take a gauge theory limit to go to a gauge theory, but actually I'm taking the size of this M5 to be huge, so what's going on? Because I'm asking a holomorphic question. So for holomorphic quantities, scales of the theory is just irrelevant. Therefore, I can take the size of this or GS to be anything I want. And then I study my system using Nambu-Goto action. Then I get some holomorphic curve, and that must be actually exact for all coupling. Even if I take the size of the thing to be substringy, it must be the same. It's not renormalized. Therefore, the Nambu-Goto analysis and the gauge theory must give the same answer. Okay, that was about holomorphic questions. But how about the full physics? Is the full physics reliable? Okay. I said that this is an M5 curve. And in that case, there are some conditions for this to be reliable. First, GS must be large. That's for sure. And I have to make sure that the curvature of this whole curve is much smaller than the L Planck in 11 dimensions. So if the size of the throat is determined by some parameter lambda, then this lambda is determining the curvature. So therefore, basically, this must be smaller than L Planck, maybe the other way around. And also, M5s must not come within L Planck of self-intersecting, because then new physics will start. And if you consider, I said that this is M5 and you get M5 curve, but because M5 Nambu-Goto action reduces to NS5 action in 10D, of course, therefore I can actually regard my holomorphic curve as an NS5 curve with some fluxes. In that case, the curvature must be much smaller than L string this time, and the flux density must be much smaller than 1 over GS. So here's flux, and you can show that flux density, which is basically given by N divided by lambda, must be much smaller than GS. These can be met, and therefore there is some regime in which these curves are rarely trustable. But of course we are going out of the gauge theory limit, but what saves the day is holomorphicity. But if you start to ask non-holomorphic questions, or if you start to study non-supersymmetric things, then it's very important that you are in this regime. Otherwise, your analysis doesn't make any sense. Okay. So T-duality. As I said, there is some T-duality between Hanani Witten type construction and 2B construction. In 2A, you have NS5 in non-compact R4. And on the other hand, on the 2B side, you have non-compact Calabi-L, which is obtained by fibering ALE space on a complex plane. ALE space is just a Kaluza-Klein monopole, and you know that Kaluza-Klein monopole is T-dual to NS5. Therefore, well, this is plausible. And D4 stretching between NS5 go to D5 wrapping S2. And the tool we study, the dynamics on the 2A side was M-theory lift, and on the 2B side, we have large N-duality. Okay, but does that really work? Because, as I said, the T-dual circle cannot be both large on both sides, but I'm saying that this is in R6 and this is non-compact Calabi-L. So this is not right in a strict sense, but because of supersymmetry, as long as I ask holomorphic questions, it's fine because scales are irrelevant. The T-dual circle radius is just irrelevant. However, if you start to consider non-supersymmetric configuration, then this T-duality is not expected to work a priori. Okay, now non-supersymmetric curves. Okay, so from here, the real things. Agnagic, Ben, Beam, Sale, and Vafa studied this 2B geometry where D5 and D5 bar are wrapped, and I said, and they studied this using large N. And it's T-dual, quote, unquote, to this NS5 configuration with D4 and D4 bar stretched in between. And let's study this system using M-theory. And as I said, this is not just studying the T-dual of this thing. I'm not studying the same thing because of non-supersymmetric property. This is really exploring the different regime of string theory. Any questions so far? Any other questions, by the way? Okay. Good. Did I just say anything here? Okay. So I want to study non-supersymmetric M5 curves. How do I do it? So for example, if I have something like this, then this is expected to lift to some M5 curve. Now, to study that, I have to really directly solve the non-Gödel or polyakov fraction of M5 like that. And what it tells you is that all the functions, where did I define this S? S is x6 plus ix10. I don't remember if I forget to include that. Okay, sorry. V, W, and S are coordinates parameterizing R6 plus S1 of M circle. Anyway, they are coordinates. And I have Z, which is parameterizing the word volume or word sheet of this M5. And if I write these coordinates in terms of Z, then they must be all harmonic. So you have holomorphic piece and anti-holomorphic piece for all these, and not just this is not fine, but you have to satisfy Virasoro constraint to satisfy the equation of motion. So you take d of this and d of this and multiply and sum everything together, and that must be zero. So this is what I have to solve. But before going into that, before really doing the real thing, which is my goal was studying this, but that's hard and complicated. So let me do some practice. So practice one, simple supersymmetric curve. So I have an NS5 here and D4 ending on that. Then how is it described? This is supersymmetric. And I expect that this will lift into M5 like this. And D4 is going to be a tube like this, which is going around the M circle n times. To do that, I introduce a worksheet, and I describe the curve by a map from this to this. And I say that this point, this infinity of D4 corresponds to z equal to 0, and the infinity on NS5 corresponds to z equals to infinity. So this point on the worksheet corresponds to this, and the point at infinity corresponds to this. And how do I do it? It's pretty simple, because first, v is 0 here and infinity here. And you can see that v is a single-valued function of z. Therefore, I can just set v to be equal to z. And what's s? S is defined like s6 plus ix10, and this must have a monotony around this z equals to 0, because if I go around this n one time, then I must go around the M circle n times, because this is D4. I have n D4s. Therefore, that means that I have to have this. This is the unique solution. I have to have GS n log z, because if I go around this z one time, then I get GS n times 2 pi I, and that's exactly the n times the radius of M circle. Is this clear? Okay, this is the step one. This is step one. And one interesting thing is that you have a log in S. So I have to have a log. And that means that actually this, so S is this direction. So if I take Z to infinity, then S blows up. Therefore, this is not really straight like this, but it's actually going like this all the way. This is because this D4 is pulling NS5. Therefore, it cannot just stay like this. It should be bending like this. Okay, now practice two. Now I curve NS5 linearly. So on this side, I tilt the NS5 like this. So now this is along W equals to MV. And the other one is tilted the other way. So this is W equals to minus MV. And this must somehow go to a curve like this. And I parameterize this curve by a worksheet again. And I assume that this infinity corresponds to z equal to 0. And this the other one is z equal to infinity. Okay. Then the solution is just this. Why? Okay, first, V must blow up at Z equal to 0 and Z equal to infinity. Because this, if I go along this NS5, V is going to diverge at Z equal to 0. And on the other NS5, this is also diverging at Z equal to infinity. Therefore, I have to have a holomorphic function which diverges at Z equal to 0 and Z equal to infinity, and otherwise regular, which must be this. I could add a constant, but that can be shifted away. And also, I could have a constant here also, but I can just rescale z. And then, what's w? W must go like mv when z is infinity, and it must go like minus mv when z is 0. I can do that by this. When z is infinity, then this wins, and this is going like this. And when z is 0, then this wins, and it's going like w equals minus mv. Okay, that's why I got these v and w, and I can do the same thing as I did before for the s, and I just have to have a log like this. Then I can just go around once here to go around n times around the m circle. Okay, practice two, and I practice three. So that was all supersymmetric. Supersymmetric case was just trivial, because you can trivially satisfy the Virasoro constraint. Virasoro constraint is the hardest part. So let's consider this thing now. This thing, you expect some new features. D4 and D4 bars attract because the endpoints of D4 and D4 bar have opposite charges on the NS5 word volume. They attract each other. Therefore, they go near like this. And consequently, you have to pull back these D4 and D4 bars like this at an angle. Otherwise, they just go and hit and annihilate each other. And, okay, as I said, because of that, this D4 and D4 bar are going to at an angle with the V direction, I mean S direction. Yeah, so D4 is tilted in V direction, like this. Okay, how do I do it? It seems to be hard. Okay, let's consider how I can tilt. So let's take one D4, which is just parallel to S, and let's rotate that, the whole thing, which is extremely simple. So I had this curve in practice one, and I just rotate. I got this. Good. And the thing is, one thing is that log appears in the tilted directions, meaning that, okay, I have log here, I mean, sorry, log here in the V direction. That means that now this is pulling NS5 in the V direction also. Therefore, this NS5 is bent like this, not along S, but also along V. Therefore, I get this log. And what am I supposed to say here? Okay, this looks like non-holomorphic, but of course this is holomorphic because I didn't do anything. This is just, you're just taking some weird coordinate system in which holomorphicity is not apparent. Okay, now I combine two of these D4 planes together. Wait a minute, let me back up. So this part and this part corresponds to this tilted D4 because they depend on N. These are just junk basically because this is supersymmetric. So there's something that I don't want. So now I combine D4 and D4 bar. I say that this is Z equal to 1 and this is Z equal to minus 1 and this NS5 is Z infinity. So I just take what I had before and just plug that in with replacing Z by Z minus 1, because now Z equals 1 is where D4 is. So I have this and this, and then I do the same thing for this D4 bar. Now I replace Z by Z plus 1, and also I took the complex conjugate, because this is D4 bar. So that's why I have a bar here instead of just Z, and here I took bar off. Okay, and this is not going to satisfy the equation of motion. These are just saying that you have D4 and D4 bar here. So I have to put some unknown functions here and determine these by Virasoro constraint. That's actually pretty simple. I just write down the answer. You get first equation force balance. There's something more here, which just says you have to pull this and this in the V direction with the same force. Otherwise, this NS5 is not going to stay. And furthermore, you can get what those additional things are. Okay, in V, you have this additional thing, and in S, you don't have any additional thing. But this is just complete. This is an exact solution. Okay, that's nice. And you can do the same thing for a more complicated situation. Now you curve NS5. Quadratically like this, so now W is going like V squared, and you put D4 and D4 bar like this, and this has to be pulled in the W direction because these are going to attract each other. Therefore, you have to pull them back to make them stay. And you can do the same thing, and you get the following non-holomorphic curve. And as you can see, now there is bending in the S and W directions, meaning you have a log in W also. That's that's because you have you're pulling, and these D4 and D4 bar are pulling NS5 in the V direction also. I mean W direction also. And the other thing is, I said that I have NS5 bent along this, but this is not actually possible because I have this Z bar. Therefore, it's not like even so. This NS5 corresponds to Z equal to infinity. Therefore, for example, if I did not have this, then I have W, which is Z squared, which is V squared. But now I have Z bar. Therefore, this curve is not W proportional to V squared. It's just not possible to have that kind of holomorphic boundary condition if you start to have D4 and D4 bar. And also, you can see that there is a minimal distance between D4 and D4 bar. This D4 corresponds to Z equal to 1. Therefore, let's put 1 in here. Then you basically get x plus 1 over x. And that's the distance between this and this. And that has a minimal distance. Therefore, there's some minimal distance below which these just annihilate. So that's a nice physics you can read off. Okay, now the real thing. Okay, so I want to consider now this. Because this is the T-dual of the 2B configuration, and you can see that if you see from this S direction, it must be like this. So in the supersymmetric case, D4 and D4 bar stayed here and here, but they are attracting each other. Therefore, they come close to each other, but they stop somewhere because you're losing energy by tension. Okay. And there's another thing. I will describe this using some parametric description of the curve, and that worksheet is going to be genus 1 because you have a hole here. It's like a torus. And I mentioned this long thing already. Okay, the exact curve. So to describe this curve, I have to consider a worksheet which is now a torus, and I have two marked points which correspond to these infinities. Okay, I don't get into the detail, but just write down the solution. It's this. Okay, it now has a theta function, which is kind of a elliptic function, which you have to have in a genus 1 case. And this f thing is kind of like the log in the genus 0 case. And yeah, okay, this is the solution. And there's exactly the same features as the half curve, meaning I had just this part. I just had this part, and I could solve that easily. And that has the same feature as this one. First, I have log bending along S and W because they're pulling NS5s along the W direction also. And the boundary condition at infinity is not holomorphic. So I said that I holomorphically curve NS5s, but it's not possible actually. And there is a minimal distance between D4 and D4 bar, and if they are close, they are closer than that minimal distance, they just annihilate. There is no solution. And because the curve is non-holomorphic, therefore, if I take the T-dual, then the 2B geometry is going to be non-complex. It's not a Calabi-Yau, it's not a complex manifold. And if you tune the parameter of the curve, like the size of this throat and the distance between these things, you can make the curve as reliable as you want. Therefore, this curve is a real thing, and this can be this is really exploring the non-supersymmetric landscape of string theory.
So where is the distance between D4 and D4 bar measured at infinity?
No. Okay, although it's not holomorphic, I have some curve here and here. And I just look from the S direction, and I just look for the points where they are overlapping each other. And I'm just calling that distance, the distance between these two things.
So what's the physical picture? So you are making the two kinds of brains approach to each other.
Yes.
And then suddenly at this minimal distance, what happens?
Basically, the hole of this torus becomes smaller and smaller, and they just disappear. You cannot make that. There's some distance, minimal distance, for the hole to just collapse.
But I thought you were holding D4 and D4 bar at infinity.
No, I'm not. I'm just holding the NS5s so that they have some quadratic curve, quadratic shape, and I just put D4 and D4 bar and let them go. And the distance is determined dynamically. Any other question? Okay, now let me change the gear a little bit, and let's consider some limit in which this solution simplifies. So what if GSN is small? Okay, this is a priori, ad hoc. Okay, let's take this parameter to be very small. Then the curve becomes very simple, like this. And V and W are just holomorphic. Oh, sorry, I forgot to erase this CC thing. And S is harmonic. And tilting vanishes because V and W have no log or non-holomorphic parts. Okay, I mentioned this. And furthermore, if you T-dualize this, then this actually solves the potential, the equation of motion buffer and the company obtained on the 2B side. So somehow this is exactly T-dual to what they had, which is unexpected. Because I have been saying that because of supersymmetry breaking, we are exploring with some regime which is not T-dual to their regime. But somehow, if I take this limit, then my curve becomes the solution to their problem. So what's going on here? So I'm saying that if I take, in general, this and this are not T-dual to each other, but somehow if I take GSN to be small, then this and this becomes T-dual to each other, although the system size is different. And you can show that this phenomenon holds more generally. So it's not just for D4 and D4 bar system, but you can consider arbitrarily curved NS5 and put arbitrary number of D4 and D4 bar, and it's the same for that system too. So why does that work without SUSY? So we were relying on supersymmetry to argue that some quantity is protected, but somehow there's a protection going on here also. And on the 2B side, those people, Agnagic, Beam, Sayer, and Buffer, assumed that supersymmetry is softly broken, and they went on and did their analysis. Therefore, if I take GSN to be small, the same thing must be happening. Therefore, if I take GSN small, then somehow I'm breaking supersymmetry broken softly. And if you break supersymmetry softly, there are some protection. If you ask the right question, then some quantities are protected. It is known to be protected. Therefore, this is the only possibility that can happen. So I'm controlling somehow the softness. Yes. Yes.
I thought that in Agnagic and Rafa's paper, GSM was large.
Yes. Well, I'm not totally sure.
I thought that was the rationale that they gave for the geometric transition.
Yeah, but the size of the S3.
Right.
Is not determined just by GSN.
Yeah, but in some sense, they were using the usual rules of ADS-CFT that the tooth coupling constant has to be large in some units to make it work. So I'm just curious about that.
Yeah. But it's not really the GSN which is determining the size of S3, which is lambda. Lambda can be independently chosen of GSN. So they're assuming that lambda is large. They have to assume that the size of S3 to be large for the supergravity approximation to be right. So that's an independent thing from GSN. Here I'm taking also lambda, the throat size, to be large so that my classical curve approximation to be right. But I'm setting this GSN to be small. Of course, this is not small absolutely. This is smaller than something. In this case, I set GSN to be small as compared to delta, which is the distance between two stacks. So it's not just this GSN which is small, so therefore maybe it's somehow consistent with what they're saying.
Well, it might be a different GSN, right? Because one of them is the type 2B GSN.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's true too. Yeah, that's a good point to investigate. Okay, so if I take GSN to be small, then somehow I'm getting the same thing as them, as they are getting. And if I take GSN, I can do that so that my curve is still reliable. So by taking GSN to be small, I'm not making the curve size to be very small, substringy, and my curve is trustable. The question is, why is this GSN controlling softness? We don't have any convincing argument, but if you consider just a tree level, if you compute the gauge theory effective potential just by computing the string theory amplitude, then at the tree level, the supersymmetry is going to be broken softly. If you do this, then you get a D term of n equals 1 theory, n equals 2 theory, and that will break the supersymmetry softly. But if you consider higher genus graphs, then, although I haven't computed this, so I don't know if this is going to really happen, but at least if you consider this kind of a general worksheet with 8 N handles and H holes, then at least the dependence on GSN and GSN goes like this. Therefore, it's not enough to take just GS to be small, but I have to take GSN to be much small, very small, to keep only the tree-level diagrams. So if you start to consider, if this is not small, then I have to consider those graphs, and they will break supersymmetry non-softly. But of course, to really make this precise, I have to get not just this factor, but also how this graph depends on the parameter of the geometry, like delta or lambda. But we cannot do this. So this is the only argument I can give now. Okay, so boundary conditions. This is the last topic. So what's the issue? So some people made the following claim. So in the ISS theory, meaning SQCD, you have metastable non-supersymmetric vacuum and a stable supersymmetric vacuum. And people like Oguri Okochi and also those people, Cyberg, Shi, Bena, and Gorbatov, and Hellerman, they also say that these must be realized by these configurations in brain. Okay, that's good. Yeah, okay, let me explain a bit. So this is the usual electric configuration of n equals 1 theory, and because you have to do a cyberideality to get this metastable non-supersymmetric state, which is in the magnetic description. You have to flip the order of this NS5 and NS5 prime, and then these brains arrange themselves like this. And this is non-supersymmetric because of this angle. And those gentlemen, Bennett, Gorbatov, Hellerman, Seiberg, and Shi, point out that boundary conditions are different for these things. Namely, because, okay, here I have brain D4 along this. Therefore, this brain is pulling this NS5 along the X6 direction, which is this horizontal direction. And the same thing for this D4. So these NS5, NS5 prime are all bent along the X6 direction. However, in this system, I have this thing which is not horizontal, but it's at an angle with the X6 direction. Therefore, this NS5 is not bent along the X6 direction, but it's somehow bent in a strange direction. And this bending goes all the way to infinity. Therefore, boundary conditions at infinity is different. And because these are non-compact theories, you have to define the theory with boundary conditions specified. Therefore, if the boundary conditions are different, then you're considering different theories. So this and this configurations are not two states in the same theory, but they are two different states in different theories. Okay, that's good. And one conclusion is one can't decay into the other, of course, to a different things. That's good. Okay, so what's the implication of this? So does that mean what we have been doing is meaningless? No. You may think that that means that non-supersymmetric configurations are stable, but of course not. It decays. Okay, I have NS5 and NS5, which are bent like this by D4 and D4 bar. This can pair annihilate by quantum tunneling. So although these are bent like these, but this bending doesn't affect the fact that they pair annihilate. They cannot prevent this pair annihilation process. It's like a beta decay in electromagnetic field. If you have a nucleus in a vacuum, then it will beta decay. But if you have an electric field, in which this nucleus is put, the beta decay still happens because the electron in the nucleus doesn't know about the electromagnetic field. It will just beta decay, and then the electron will move in the electromagnetic field according to the classical equation of motion. But anyway, that field doesn't change the fact that a nucleus decays. Okay, likewise, although these are bent, D4 and D4 bar annihilate, and they're gone. Okay, then because there is no force to hold these NS5s, therefore they start to relax and straighten like this. So it's gone, now it will straighten like this and straighten further, and this straightening propagates at infinity, but it takes infinite amount of time for this process to end. Yeah, so this system has a runaway behavior, but it's certainly metastable. So what? This is not at all in contradiction with the statement by Bennett and company, because in the gauge theory, you have this metastable thing decaying into the stable vacuum in a finite time by a tunneling process, but by turning on GS, by lifting to M theory or gauge theory or 2A. I have taken this supersymmetric vacuum somewhere to infinity. So it's now gone. This has left the theory. Therefore, all this metastable thing can do is to tunnel into somewhere here and then evolve according to the classical equation of motion. And then they just run away. Okay. Okay, so what does that mean? So if given that, what's the meaning of non-supersymmetric brain configurations I have been discussing? So does that mean that these are not really good for model building? No, because gauge theory is, first, gauge theory is probably approximation of string theory. Therefore, although they have found those metastable vacuum in pure SQCD, but that's really an approximation to string theory. So we have to consider, we have to face this kind of configurations, probably. And also, you may wonder, what about this random rate behavior? This doesn't end in a finite time, therefore that seems to be unphysical. But of course, if this non-compact, this non-compact configuration of NS5 is just an approximation, local approximation to the real thing. This probably is embedded in a compact Calabi-L, and these boundary conditions, so these are held somehow by an external force, but that external force is provided some mechanism in the rest of the Calabi-L, probably. Therefore, in the whole system, if you consider the whole system, this runaway doesn't continue indefinitely, but it will end somewhere. There is something out there, and that will end the process. Therefore, our system is not a piece of junk, but that can be used as a building block for model building of realistic models. Okay, conclusions. So I studied M5 and NS5 curves, and using M-theory techniques, we can explore the non-supersymmetric landscape of string theory and M-theory. And this, although I just studied this quadratically curved NS5 with two stacks of D4s, but this can be easily generalized. You can consider, for example, flavors, or you can consider multiple NS5s by which you have ADE type quiver gauge theories, although calculationally it will be very hard, but in principle you can do that. And we saw that GSN controls the softness of breaking, and because in this regime some quantities are protected, therefore you can study string M-theory landscape in a controlled way. Although non-supersymmetric, you have some protected thing to look at. And I studied boundary condition issues, and I was saying that this can be used for building blocks for model building. So you have some piece which realizes supersymmetry breaking, and maybe you can put other modules together and make a more realistic model. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Comments? In the whichever part, so we were practicing a lot.
Yes.
Finding these curves.
Yes.
You showed sort of a procedure by which I find some solutions.
Uh huh.
But in the sense that we're exploring a new landscape.
Yes.
Can you tell me that you're confident those are the only solutions?
If
we go down to the full answer,
yes,
you show some complicated
fact.
Yeah, I was impressed by that. But, so we have an exact solution, but is that the only solution here?
Okay, it's the solution which is the only solution that looks like this. Yeah. What?
Even if you keep the quadratic sort of behavior, you're saying there aren't any other.
Okay, because we thought that we are finding a solution which corresponds to NS5 quadratically bent, but actually they are not quadratically bent after all, because I have to have some non-holomorphic thing. It's pretty much like the simpler half example of the half thing. You have Z and Z bar, therefore it's not holomorphic anymore. So this is the only thing the simplest thing that really is similar to the quadratic bending. I'm not saying that.
Is it the only solution for those given boundary conditions?
Yes, I think so.
Because
for example, you can because you can start to add. Okay, so this z bar, z squared, these are determining the boundary condition at infinity. So you can start to add more terms here, but then you can start to solve the Virasoro constraint. Then the coefficients are determined. But if I said that I have just z bar, I mean, if I said that these terms are just up to quadratic term in z, then this is the only solution. You can show that. But if you start to add more higher terms like z cubed, then there are more solutions out there. Sorry, did I answer your question or did I confuse you further?
You probably did, but let me persist. If I have the d4 and d4 bar, I mean, one of the things you commented on is they want to attract each other.
Yeah.
But if I hold them apart, another thing they like to do, if I fix the separation, is they like to curve. They like to turn. They like to align themselves. And so I'm...
That's if you consider the bulk interaction. Bulk interaction? Like, they're not interacting through the bulk. They are interacting only through NS5.
Through the NS5. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they don't really do that.
Oh, okay. So that would be some higher order correction.
Yes.
Okay.
Any more questions?